Liebe Zuhörerinnen und Zuhörer, willkommen zu der dritten Ausgabe unseres Podcasts Making Waves, Empty Classes, Untold Stories, einem Podcast des Kulturreferates der ÖHFH Kufstein. Mein Name ist Andrea Kurz und ich bin heute gemeinsam hier mit meinem Kollegin aus dem Kulturreferat, Cassi Liottje.
Hi everyone!
Zusammen sind Cassi und ich heute zu Gast bei Patty Gonzalez Dillon, einer sehr lebhaften, optimistischen und interessanten Persönlichkeit. Sie ist ursprünglich aus Mexiko und erst vor kurzem nach Kufstein gezogen.
Hallo!
Ein schöner Teil des Studentseins ist auf jeden Fall auch das Studentenleben mit seinen sozialen Kontakten, welches aber seit der Corona-Pandemie ein bisschen auf den Kopf gestellt wurde. Wie Empty Classes im Titel unseres Podcasts schon sagt, stehen die Klassenräume der Fachhochschule schon seit längerem leer und der Kontakt zu anderen Studierenden wurde sehr eingeschränkt. Besonders die Möglichkeit, sich mit neuen Studierenden und Studierenden aus anderen Studiengängen zu vernetzen. Damit wir aber trotzdem von anderen Studierenden zu hören bekommen und von deren Geschichten inspiriert werden können, werden in diesem Podcast Studierende ihre ganz persönlichen Geschichten mit uns teilen. In dieser Podcast-Folge teilt Patty aus Mexiko ihre Geschichte mit uns, die, bevor sie begonnen hat, an der FH Kufstein zu studieren, in Mexiko in der Filmindustrie gearbeitet hat. Wir sitzen gerade in ihrem Wintergarten in Kufstein und unterhalten uns eigentlich gerade alle auf Englisch, da Pattys Muttersprache Spanisch ist und Cassis Französisch. Um uns die Kommunikation ein bisschen zu vereinfachen, wird der Hauptteil dieses Podcasts daher auf Englisch sein. So now a warm welcome and hello to everyone who tuned in and doesn't speak or understand German. Nice that you stuck around, even though you probably didn't understand anything of the last few minutes. We are very happy to welcome you to our third edition of the podcast Making Waves, Empty Classes, Untold Stories. Of the Cultural Department of the ÖHFH Kufstein, where students interview other students, so that in a time of social distancing, we can still learn about the stories of other people. We are very, very glad to be the guests of Patty today, a very strong and inspiring woman. Patty, maybe you could start off by introducing yourself and telling us a bit more about that woman who changed her life around during a pandemic and moved across the ocean to the city of Kufstein in Austria.
Yes, for sure. But like, first of all, thank you so much for having me. This is such a nice initiative. And yeah, as you mentioned, I'm from Mexico. I am 27 years old. And I just arrived for doing the master program last semester. I started it for international business with a specialization in marketing. But the thing is that I would say that the society I live in is kind of like in a bubble. I think every society is kind of in a bubble. And in the case of my family, my mom was a bit disruptive. And then she had to, because of life and a lot of things that happened, she had to question her beliefs and the religion. We were like raised as Catholics, but then it was not helping us to be Catholics. So yeah, she had to question a lot of things, and then we started questioning a lot of things in general, all of us, like my brothers and sisters. And we grew up either way with a lot of love from my parents, but a lot of difficulties. And I don't know, it was just a lot of things that had to happen for me to be here. And in few words, I can only say that I'm super, super grateful of being in Kufstein, of sharing this experience. This is the third time I'm in Austria, and I love it. And I'm so, so happy that I ended up here.
So you just said that now you are in Kufstein and you're super happy to be here and you study something completely different than why you are here today. We're going to talk about your filmmaking and experience. But how did you first come to filmmaking?
So it was actually a funny story. I didn't know what to do with my life. And so I took this test when I was finishing high school to know what was my like my abilities and what was I good at. And I found out that my top abilities are like arts and or my psychology traits or something. I really don't remember how the tests were, but basically they told me, you should study arts or communication. And of course, as an artist, they sell you this idea that if you're an artist, you'll, you know, starve. And so I was like, okay, let's try communication and see if I don't starve. And then I went there and I realized that I was not that into like a lot of the communication science, you know, areas. I really don't like the news. I don't want, like to like read newspapers because I really think that they have a lot of preconceptions. So I try to like have an overview of the different sides of it, but still I'm not that into like those, like, you know, those things. Mm-hmm. Also, if I listen to the radio, I would just put on some music and I don't know. In general, that was not my thing, but I did like a lot the classes of history of cinema. And so I went to the director and said, hey, this is going on. Like, I don't like these other things, but I really like this. And he was like, yeah, it's your lucky day. We are going to open this digital film production degree. Would you like to switch? I will revalidate everything for you. And I'm like, what? Like, film producing? Like, what is that? What is film production? And I didn't even, like, thought about it because it was not something that you would see in my city. As I mentioned, it was very big cities, very industrialized. So, you know, these things, they're like, what? Really? Does that happen? So I asked him if it was possible that I started working since I started my studies so I could understand what I was supposed to be doing in the future. And so I did, and I got very interesting experience that made me grow so much.
You were saying you started in the film industry. How did you realize at this moment in your life that it was something that interests you? What was the click that made you think, okay, that's what I want to do at this point at least?
And yeah, I think on the second project that I was when I realized, like, okay, this is my thing. Or well, at least I thought so in that moment. I was standing after a more than 30-hour shift in the top of a mountain surrounded by zombies. And I was watching the sunset and I was like picking up like fake blood thingies and cleaning a room full of dead chickens because it was kind of like a gore thingy. And it was so weird, but I was like, oh my God, like, I think I never before did something that was taking me to this weird scenario and I love it. So I bought it. I was like, okay, I'm a filmmaker now, let's do it. And so I just like continue trying to be in as many projects as possible during my studies. So instead of going out and having like a normal student life, I kind of like went more into the set. And I got very kind of addicted to it a little bit. I love to be on the set on the weekends, like doing whatever, like a music video, a short film, a commercial, like whatever. And then I started doing that also in like in the summers. So I would take bigger projects, like bigger campaigns and I started like being the coffee girl for the coffee girl that bring the coffee to the director, like, you know, picking up cables and like giving water. And like, that was like, you know, and then I kind of like went up. The more I experienced, the more I understand how it worked, the more I got interested in the logistic part of it. And so I was like, you know, getting into that direction. And then I got like these opportunities that I was super grateful for. Always I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited, you know. It's not paid, but you will learn a lot. And I was okay, great, let's do it. So I just went there and tried to learn a lot and being like a trainee and stuff. And then I went to Mexico City to do like a series, and it was such a challenge. It was 2 months of intensity and not sleeping and like working the hell out of you, like so much nonstop. 100 and more people working. I was like in the coordinator department and it was like complete mess. We had like 6 cameras, 3 directors, shooting a lot of things. It was like a very, very fast thing, and I was super happy about it. Well, I would say that I like the idea of being in a interesting environment. I was just curious about it. The idea of being behind a desk and like, you know, that type of job, mm-hmm. was totally not my thing. And when I realized that cinema could take you to a lot of places and to meet a lot of people and question a lot of things and listen to a lot of stories, then I said, okay, I think that I like that idea.
any experience in particular that makes you made you realize how it was? Like, I think the beginning, at least the thrill of the beginning.
The thrill of the beginning. Yeah, well, it was very interesting. Like, I think the top projects in the beginning were like a pilot of like a zombie pilot for an American series, and also a series about the big data. And it was a lot about, like, you know, guns and like drug dealing and like, you know, the deep web. And it was super interesting. And I think I wouldn't have heard about it if it was not for that job. And I don't know, it was interesting because you could get to experience things, true stories, and get to understand them in a deeper level without really being there. So it's kind of like the magic of cinema. And I think that was very thrilling, honestly. Like, you were in a scene, like, with, you know, gunshots and stuff, and like, it was fake, of course, but it makes you understand reality, because, you know, a lot of things do happen, you know, and all fiction is kind of inspired in reality somehow. So I don't know, it was very interesting.
So this particular atmosphere, surreal atmosphere surrounded by zombies, made you think, okay, maybe this is my thing.
Yeah, like, especially because you would find so many different people in one set. Like, you would find so many different stories, as well as in an office, you know, it's always the same. But I don't know what happens with art, but when you're doing it, you kind of like open up and like share a lot, and you end up knowing like this history behind, like, you know, the sound guy or the DOP or, you know, the producer that is on the other side, like, making all the accounting, and like even the you know, the doctor on set, like, also has a story to tell, because for a doctor to end up in a film set, it's also a curious thing. So I don't know, I think that the diversity was what made me get interested in that.
Okay, nice. And then you previously you mentioned this kind of idea, like, how you get big into cinema, going to Mexico, how it was a dream. How was the film industry in there?
It's just one state, and it's huge. So imagine that the film industry in Mexico is super centralized in Mexico City, one of the biggest cities in the world. So it's like saying that all of the film industry in Europe is in Berlin, but all of it. Like, you know, going to Mexico City is kind of like the dream for, like, people in the outside. I think it happens in every country, that the idea that everything is centralized in the capital, it's a thing. And so everybody kind of like has this idea that they will, if they're getting there, they already made it, you know? So I was like super proud of myself, like, yeah, come on, like, I just went to this project. And everybody was like actually very surprised, like, oh, that's great, you know? But then I realized the you know, the truth behind it. I got into this international project. It was a collaboration between Canadians and like some people from the Philippines, and it was a big campaign for Chevrolet, and they were filming all around the world. And I was in the crew that was in my city. And so, like, they, like, you know, they had a lot of money for the project, something that I was not used to. Every time it was like, you don't have enough money to do this or do that. And then in this case, it was the opposite. They were able to be super creative because they had the money for it. But also, they were respecting the labor hours. We could sit to eat. You would think that should be normal, but it isn't. Like, in a lot of projects, you are like looked down if you sit, because you're an assistant, so you always have work to do. So you shouldn't sit, you know? And that's what I like, the tough cinema that I kind of learned. It's tough school, and it's a thing. And it's so weird, because it was a thing. Now it's being questioned, like, there's a whole new wave of like filmmakers that are against these ideologies because they're just super destructive. And they have this thing like that is called like the novatada, which is like for the newbies, and they throw things like over them at the end of the project as a welcoming
baptism
thing, like the baptism thing. But like you would think, yeah, baptism, like you pour beer on me and stuff.
Yeah.
No, it's not like that. Like they can put like toxic stuff on you, like, you know, like dirty food, like how past food,
mm-hmm. paste. Yeah.
Yeah, like the, like imagine that getting the biomul garbage
mm-hmm.
can over your body.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you start puking like crazy. It's horrible. And that's a thing. And like people do it, or they put like paint on you, or like they tie you to a tree and they cut your hair. And he's like, yeah, I know, it was crazy. And so working with these international people that were respecting way more the labor force and like not doing that bullshit, I'm sorry, but like not doing those things, I was like, what am I doing? Like, what is going on? And questioning a lot of like, in which sets am I getting into, you know? Because like, yeah, like then I started noticing these things, and then I started noticing other things. With time, I kind of like understood how, in a general perspective or with my own experience, how film industry worked in Mexico. And then I was very surprised because what I found maybe was not entirely positive. Of course, you have these nice areas where like film is amazing and like you're expressing a lot of things, and it's such a cool thing to be on a set and like being this weird context, like in a desert with horses, or like surrounded by zombies, or like with explosions and like cars flipping around. And but at the end of the day, there's a lot more into it than, you know, that side. I see a lot of sets that were different, that look way different than the sets that I was in.
Mm-hmm.
But the sets that I was in, there is a lot of inequality
mm-hmm.
for men and women, and also a lot of lack of respect for the time schedule from the workers. They have, you know, you have this idea that they say like, yeah, you're artists, you're passionate, like go for it. And then that artists are against like, you know, a paycheck because they do it from their passion, from their hearts. And that can be very abused by a lot of people. And so a lot of people, they say like, yeah, you're a student, of course you would like to come with us and like work for us for free, and then we don't pay you because you're learning, you know, but you still get the job done. And like, you know, that's just unfair. And they, a lot of sets take advantage of that, and then they bring trainees and they put them to work, they teach them how to do it, and they have to do it for free for a long time. I didn't got paid the first 2 years that I was working in the film industry. And I was in more than 50 projects, like a long, long time. I was not paid. And then you are taught that you shouldn't ask for it because, you know, a lot of things are wrong there. But like, not, I don't want to generalize. You also find the people that do it differently.
So you talked about the positive side of the film industry in Mexico, how thrilled you were to start, and the surreal experiences you had, but you also quickly mentioned some defects and some defaults. Do you want maybe to expand on this? Or I guess it was not all rainbows and puppies and everything. So what was the bad side of it as well?
Okay, so first of all, I think the time schedule, like you know, we mentioned about the people in the offices and having this like, you know, routine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Filmmaking is exactly the opposite, but exaggerated. Like, at least in my experience, I was having like very long hours and like not sleeping well and a lot of things that like you think is normal. But then the more you work on it, the more you realize that it shouldn't. And also, I also started noticing, because I live in a very machist country,
mm-hmm.
and that I can say for the whole country, like the whole country is extremely, extremely machist, and there's a whole feminist movement that I totally support, because it's completely necessary, because you, like, yeah, anyway, not going into too deep into that, but yeah, I realized the inequality between men and women in the film industry. Because a lot of people think that there's not filmmakers that are women. There are like just a few of them, and that's not right. There are a lot of women working in the film industry, but then they just don't get hired because they are women, and they want to do it, and they're like preparing themselves, and they're good at it. They just don't get hired. They don't get the job. So just like, you know, it's just this idea of like give them the job. I think like somebody said it in a speech that they got the I forgot who, but I just like saw the speech of a filmmaker, a woman filmmaker, and she was saying that, and it was very interesting to me. It kind of like stuck in my subconscious now I'm saying it. But yeah, and then I worked with an international team, and it was super interesting because I got to experience a first world set. And I was like, what is this? They have like proper time schedule, proper food. They don't, like they you know, it's not all compressed in like 3 intensive days. They have enough money to make it for like, you know, the time that is needed to film in the quality that you want to film. And I don't know, in general, it was very like respectful with the workers, and I kind of like experienced another side of it.
But yeah. Before this interview started, you talked about how different it was on the international set as well in terms of meal. I think you said for the first time that you had real lunch break and you were not just eating your sandwich.
Yes, like in the majority of the sets I was working, and because I was doing the producer side and the logistics side, mm-hmm. I never sat like in it. Like I almost the whole day I was standing and walking, and like, you know, you have to like, I had to fix a lot of things, and a lot of things were going on the radio, and like you just have to move a lot, right? And so they knew that I would not sit as well as my team. I was not the only one, and so they whatever they were giving like to the actors and like to the, you know, to the crew members that were able to sit, they would put it in a sandwich for us, and we would just eat it on the go. And it was like that for like breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So like, yeah. And so yeah, when I was working in the international team, I was surprised that they had a buffet. Like, I'm like, wow, you have options. It's like, it was super interesting. And do you have vegan options? Huh? Like, that was also a surprise. It's, you know, yeah, it's quite different. What can I say?
But in my experience, did you have any different experience?
Yeah. Like, there was one producer, like Monica. And then she was like, I want to hire you. Somebody told me that you're good at this. I want to hire you. And because, like, I think I believe in you. I like also, and in general, it's just because it's fair. I want you to know that you deserve a paycheck. And you deserve a paycheck as much as the guy that has been doing this for 10, 20 years, you know, because you get the work done and that deserves a paycheck. So here's your money. Please accept it and never question before that you deserve it and ask for it. You deserve it. And I was like, oh my God, like, what is she saying? Like, you know, learning so much, because that's true. Like, we have to ask for the things that are fair, you know. Mm-hmm. And then even if we be like somebody told you that you should do it because you're passionate and it's yeah. art and, you know, you're learning, that's bullshit, in my opinion. But yeah, that was a very like learning experience. And just for the record, there's like a lot of different sets in Mexico. As I mentioned, it's a big country. So you will also find producers that respect their workers and their time schedules and the meals, and like they care about these things. And you will also find sets that are gender equal and all these things. I am just talking from my own experience.
So you talked a lot about the difficulties as well, at least for you or in your own experience of the film industry. And now you're in Kufstein studying something completely different, and it happened at the same time as the corona pandemic completely appeared on the earth, I would say. What happened?
Okay, so I graduated, and then I said, okay, it's time to face the real world of the adults and like realize that you have to, you know, pay for your life. And so I said, okay, let's try to have a structure here And I started working in these animation studios. Like, it's not, it was more about a post-production house that focused on animation and motion graphics and mm-hmm. design.
Okay.
But they would also do production and like other things, you know, they were kind of like very flexible and super cool. Honestly, it was amazing working experience, an amazing working environment, and it was very cool projects too. I learned a lot. But I also understood, like, I was a bit confused because everything was about selling products. And I was kind of not proud of that. You buy this idea that, like, you know, I was kind of like against consumism and up until a certain extent. And so, like, embracing it and, like, pushing it and just, like, working on the commercials was good for my economy, but not good for my morale. And then I was like, because it is true that you get a way better paycheck if you focus on selling products than if you focus on selling art. And so I was, you know, questioning, like, all these things. And then I got invited to participate in a film. It was my first film. I never before did a movie per se, and that was what I was studying. I did all these other things, like series and commercials and short films and like all these other things, but never a movie. So I was like, oh my God, I need that experience. I need it. And it was supposed to be with a super cool crew, like some Colombian people, some people from like central Mexico and like southern Mexico and so on. And I asked my bosses in this animation studio, I asked them like if it was possible for me to take like 2 months to just have that experience because I kind of like needed it. They were super understanding. And they were like, yeah, like, okay, go. But knowing that we want you here, like, you know, it was kind of like maybe a little bit of a bitchy move of myself, but I kind of had to do it because I needed that experience, right? And so this film promised a lot of things and delivered so less. Like, it was such a chaos. There was a lot of miscommunication, a lot of situations that went wrong that nobody expected that to happen. And we lost a lot of money. It was just a lot of chaos. And for me personally, it was a lot of pressure because I was hoping that this experience would enlighten me in a lot of ways, and it was such a chaos that I was like, what is going on? Like, what am I doing with my life, you know? And then I was like, everybody was telling me like, oh my God, we're so sorry that this is your first film because this is not how it's supposed to be. Like, this is not how it is. And normally it's very cool and you have a lot of fun, and we are so sorry that this was just so crazy. And yeah, it was a lot of like, you know, failures on logistics. And I think it was because of the difference of cultures and the lack of ability to understand each other, because there were a lot of different cultures in the same set, and that created chaos. Anyway, I went back to Monterey, and then my bosses were like, hey, you are here earlier, like, we didn't expect you until like next month, so please like wait, and then you come back, you know, in, what was it, April? And then Corona started. And I'm like, oh, like, okay, I was not expecting a global pandemic. Like, what is going on? And then, yeah, like, of course, you know what happened. And this company is like a kind of like a startup. It's we were like less than 20 people working there. And my team was like, you know, me and like some other two people. And that was the newest team. So in order to, you know, continue with their, you know, model, they had to like take out the newest ones, mm-hmm. which is like, you know, my area. And so, yeah, they were like, oh my God, like, we're so sorry, we can still work together in this way or in this other way. And like, we tried to kind of like figure it out, but it was just, you know, Corona times, and it was doomed to, you know, so I was jobless.
Yeah.
I was in the middle of a pandemic, and I...
How come Austria?
Yeah, well, like,
why again?
So why again? So first, as I was here before,
mm-hmm.
I was here like in, as I told you, as an exchange student, and I had such fun here. not only that, I kind of like be braided with like this ambience. I don't know how to really explain it, but I came back once in April 2018, and I just got this amazing feeling of this country and like in general, like how the perspectives are, and I just loved it. And so I was always wanting to come back. In the end, I was like, take the opportunity to change your life. And like, you know, I sold my car and like I got my savings, and I was like, okay, this is it. This is the moment to, you know, try it out. And if it fails, the worst thing that can happen is that you just go back to Mexico and start over there. But I just needed to try it. So I also...
Bold move in the middle of a pandemic.
Yes, it was super intense because I also realized that it's super hard to get a job with a film background. Mm-hmm. Like, I would apply, like, so enero, febrero, marzo. Like, in April, I got fired. And during April, I was shocked. And then enero, febrero, marzo, abril. In May, I was like, okay, let's try to get a job, right? And I tried to apply for so many things, but if I explain, yeah, I was a director of logistics in a film set, they don't know what I'm talking about. And like, you know, I applied for anything, like anything. And it was so hard to get a job. And so I understood that we live in a society that you need these type of things, you know, as degrees and stuff to get jobs, even if you have the abilities. Mm-hmm. So it's not measured on the abilities that you have. It's measured on the, like...
CV.
On a freaking CV. And I'm like, what? I can totally be the lobby manager of a hotel, like, I don't know, like, cleaning table, I don't know, whatever, but it was hard. And I realized, like, okay, fuck it, let's go to Europe. And so I said the best move, or I think the smartest move, if I want to start a new life in Europe, is to first study a master program to, like, not only learn the language in that midterm, and not having like the responsibility of like getting a job and like all that stuff, being a student for a little bit so that I could learn the language and also get a European degree, which also means something here. And so I was like, okay, and then which degree? And I needed something that was like giving me more opportunities in the society that we live in. So business. And so, yeah, you know, I was okay. Yeah, let's face it. I need this. And I also was very curious about it. Like, about a lot of concepts that I didn't know, about administrative concepts, economic concepts, financial concepts that I didn't know about. And I realized that were super necessary. So, yeah, I picked this degree, and I'm actually super happy that I did, because I'm learning the hell out of much. And also, I'm having the time to immerse myself in this culture.
Mm-hmm. But, pandemic, global change... you changed completely your lifestyle and everything. How did that happen? I mean, you need a change of paradigm, a change of mentality in order to make it happen. What was that for you? Did your goals change? What was it?
Yeah, I think I just grew a little bit. And also, you know, I told you that my mom questioned a lot of the beliefs that were imposed on them. Mm-hmm. On her, and also my dad had to change a lot over the years because of a lot of things that happened in my family. And so they were a very good example to like question myself and to have like try to develop critical thinking about myself and who I am and why do I think the way I think. And so I noticed how like I have to kind of like be honest with myself and accept the fact. A lot of facts, like a lot of facts. So I started thinking like, what is my idea of success? Mm-hmm. What is my idea of success? And why is that my idea of success? Uh-huh. Because we, like, you know, the concepts, they're just built. And success in China means a completely different thing than success in Japan. And they are very close to each other, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just a construct of society. And so I was, you know, questioning like, okay, what do I actually want for my life? What do I need for my life? And I noticed that, you know, being an artist, it's also a concept. and like being a like the successful, like, you know, philosopher, it's also a concept. Like everything is a, it's just a construction of our perspectives, you know, and that doesn't mean that anything is good or bad, because some countries place artists as something bad and some others place businessman as something bad. Like, but what is it? What is it anyway? Mm-hmm. So why are we always judging, you know, what is right and wrong? That is just a construct of the society that we were born in. So, yeah, I was like, okay, what do I want? And I realized that I do want a social system that do take care of me if I pay taxes. I do want to have a partner in crime that, you know, that we can like go through life. And that also means a lot of like sacrifices. So what am I willing to give? Traveling around the world or like what, you know? And I also want to be able to buy fresh food and knowing where it comes from and having the money to do that too, because, you know, even if you're just starting a new job or a new career opportunity. And so I said, okay, yeah, Austria is a good place to start from there. And I really respect the social system, both in Austria and in Germany. But I, again, I'm starting over. And I'm also continuously questioning myself. And I'm still changing. I do consider that I'm under construction. Mm-hmm. And I think in the moment that you start believing that you know it all, like, that's the moment you start losing, because there's so much to learn still, so much. And I haven't even learned like a bit of it. And I still, as so far, so good. And I hope it gets in a good ending, in a happy ending. But again, what is happy ending? So anyway, yeah, we're getting too much into philosophy. But yeah, so I hope at some point in the future, I can do something good that involves all the learnings from my experience in the film industry in something else. I don't know what that would be, but so far, let's see how that goes.
No projections.
Let's learn German.
No projections, living in the moment, trying to understand.
I think, I do like to have a kind of like a purpose though.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think if I build my purpose, I kind of like have a different perspective of the present moment. So now, like, my purpose is to try to like learn marketing, mm-hmm. to understand how to change it and try to like understand how is the world evolving and what is my place in it and how can I do about, like, you know. But on the other hand, that also makes me enjoy more the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
On the one hand, I think you're very happy if you focus on the present moment,
mm-hmm.
because you're just there, and that's super relieving, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we do not have any problem of being here. Like, we are in this moment. We are here. We do not have a problem right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just three people making a podcast in a winter garden. And some people may be listening in their cars, in their living rooms, in their rooms. And that's actually just what it is. That's what happens, you know? That's
mm-hmm.
just it. But if we just stay in that cloud of the present moment, maybe we kind of lose other responsibilities that are
mm-hmm.
also like ours. And
mm-hmm.
that also kind of like make a sense out of it. So I also like to kind of like have a balance in like being in this cloud of the present moment and enjoying the sun and the fresh air, but also realizing that I'm blessed of being able to notice the moment.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. You need the perspective. It's not because you live in the moment that you don't have the global perspective that allows you to live it.
Exactly.
I also feel like you've been, like, all those years in the filmmaking industry, you've been running around. As you said, you didn't have like the coffee break or the pause that much, and now you're like taking more time for yourself, and I think that's a huge change in perspective. That I don't know if it was Corona or Europe or whatever, but that happens.
I think, like, what happened with me particularly was that I got a bit desperate and depressed because I thought I was not enough. And I was like, you know, questioning, like, what am I doing? Why, you know? And I totally thought I was like a, you know, not only a failure, but also like a fraud. Like this fraud feeling of like, are you really a filmmaker? Like, you know, a lot of things going on. And I started like to really kind of like lose myself in the meantime. And then I realized that, like, honestly, for me, you are the only thing that you actually own. Like, you know, everything else is just coming and going, but your body and yourself is the only thing that you actually have. Why don't you take care of that? You know, and like thoughts are also yours. And you also have to take care of those because those influence your body too. So, yeah, I don't know. It's been such a journey so far. And I'm like in my perspective, I'm like, oh my God, I'm 27. Like, and I feel like so many things have happened that have kind of like subconsciously influenced me, and I'm not realizing it until years later. And then I look back and I say, what? Like, what was going on, you know? And yeah, like now I totally see why like people meditate, and I totally see why people do sports or like try to eat healthy and all these things. It's not only for a trend. It's not only for like, you know,
self-consciousness, yeah.
Yeah, it's actually like very helpful to have these moments of like just being grateful of what you've had, what you have, or, you know, trying to find the gratefulness in things. I don't know.
You talked a lot about the changes in your life, about the journey it was, about how it was before and how it is now, even for you. I would have a simple and hard question. Can you use three words to describe what you need to for success in the film industry, and three words that define you now?
Super hard question. What? Simple question? Huh? It's a hard question because, again, what is the definition of success? So I think first, as individuals, as an individual, I would first try to arrange my definition of a successful filmmaker, and then we start from there.
Then in your definition of filmmaker?
In my definition of a filmmaker, the three words that what?
That define how you succeed in that, or to fulfill this, to be a good filmmaker for you.
To be a good filmmaker for me would say brave. Honest, conscious.
And how would you define yourself now?
Myself.
Yeah.
Three words. Curious, open. Wait.
The third one.
Imaginative.
Nice. Okay. I think from the overall interview, for me, what comes to mind is resilience, your story, because both in the enthusiasm and the energy you put in the film industry at first, trying to find your path, trying to go for it fully. Like you said, you didn't have a normal student life for many years, but you were just going to film every weekend, and now completely changing your lifestyle in the middle of a global pandemic. I cannot emphasize this enough, how impressed I am. It's not easy. So, and you see all of this with a fucking smile on your face. So I think for me, resilience is definitely something that comes out of this interview. And I want to thank you for this, for sharing your story, for talking about definition of success, definition of failure, talking about different ways of being, of, because I think it's really important. I mean, the podcast is about all those untold stories that we have, especially now, and we are an international study university, and I think it's important to challenge, to question everything, as your mom was doing, as you are doing. And so I want to thank you for joining us today, for inviting us into your winter garden to talk about all of that. And yeah, thank you very much.
No, thank you. I love sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring.
Totally.
Nice. Any final word, any conclusion you would like to add? Some motto, some motivational
some
speech.
Some motivational speech.
Some ideology we have to adhere to.
I don't know if I like motivational speeches, but here's one for the ones that like them. No. What final words? I think if I am resilient, would be because of the love of my parents. So if I can't say anything, like in this like radio, because it's kind of like saved up in the internet, my voice here telling you these things. So just for the record, I would just like say that I'm very thankful for my parents, because they always kind of like supported me to be crazy, and like even if they were not agreeing with it, like that I was like, yeah, let's try it, then they would just still be there and support me. And I think that's super important that we do as a society, because I think it's not only the parents that should do that. I think if everybody was supportive, and if nothing was good or bad, you know, like if we were like, I really like this philosopher of Basile, I think. Well, he's living in my city, but he's dreaming with a future without shame, because again, like he's also going into this line of like, what is success, right? And what is good and what is bad. So at the end, if we will just all support each other to just try out things and be loving and respectful about that, I think it would be cool. And like, even if you don't end up where you expected, it's still not a failure. It's just an experience, I would say.
Nice final words.
Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören und fürs Dabeisein bei der dritten Ausgabe unseres Podcasts. Wir hoffen, euch hat's gefallen, und es würde uns natürlich auch freuen, wenn ihr nächstes Mal wieder dabei seid. Bis dahin, macht's es gut und tschüss.